Hello, heroes. Welcome to the My Hero Academia After Show. Oh my goodness, these episodes are getting intense. We finally had that death, sort of. We also have a very special guest, so stay tuned.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now,
what's up? Welcome to the My Hero Academia After Show. We're talking episodes 10, 11, 12, otherwise 73, 74, and 75. Thank you so much for joining us. Hello, 2020. We're kicking it off, right? Full panel. My name is Carrie Lane. So happy to have everybody here. We'll go down the line.
Hey, everyone. Pro hero Veronica Valencia here.
What's up, guys? It's Jamie Gray.
Hey, guys. Pro hero Ollie Jenin here.
And we got a legit pro hero. We got the one, the only Mirio Rico Fajardo in the studio, sort of.
Yay!
What's up, everybody? How's it going?
Going good. Glad to have you.
So surreal.
Right? Technology, it's amazing.
Are you going to come through the screen?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
I did. Awesome. Well, I would, however, my quirk.
You know.
Right. I know.
You're having some issues with your quirk right now, yeah.
So sad. Hopefully not forever.
Sorry.
All the feels, hopefully. Yes. Yeah. So if you are watching live, welcome. Please join us in the chat. And if you're watching later, please comment down below. So what did we think, real quick, of these episodes? It gets intense. We get essentially a quirk death.
No. I
literally do not even want to wrap my head around that. In my heart of hearts, I want to believe that Mirio did not lose his quirk forever. I'm just like, this, it cannot, not Mirio, not like the one and only hero of the big three. Like, I just can't. But I loved these set of episodes. Super action packed. I loved getting to know Mirio more. Like, seeing how he gave his all. Honestly, I had more feels for his scenes than Red Riot. Only because we already saw Red Riot like twice. Like, we get it, okay? Mm-hmm. If we gave your all, but Mirio, I was like, please don't let this be in vain. And that's exactly like the whole reason that they went to go save Aerie. They didn't want it to be in vain. And Aerie, girl, I wanted to take her by the horn gently and see if you don't trick your ass back. Because literally all that work, someone just lost, quote, lost, because I literally don't want to believe that he lost his quirk. But Mirio, quote, lost his quirk for you. And then also, last but not least, Night Eye. Yo, I have a soft spot for Night Eye now. I like that we're really seeing his character develop and we're getting to know his character and just see how vulnerable he is. Like, I feel for him and he needs love. And I'm here for it. I'm here to give him that love.
Ollie.
It's really, I'm a super fan of the show, so watching it week by week, that's what I usually typically do, and it just kills me each and every single week because of these dramatic cliffhangers that they have. And I just, it's, the show just does an amazing job of getting to know these characters, but then automatically the cliffhanger comes up and it's like, great, I have to wait a whole another week for this amazing show that I'm in love with. But yeah. Super excited to talk about it.
Yeah. Veronica.
I mean, everything was great about it. These were very powerful episodes, very big episodes, and I personally feel, and Rico, feel free to chime in. I don't know if you've heard this, but I feel like there are a few scenes in My Hero that people will never stop talking about them. One of them I feel is the All Might and All for One fight. Some of them is a sports festival, and I feel like the battle with Overhaul and Mirio is going to be like a top three for many, many fans.
Yeah.
Wait, sorry. Are you guys looking at me?
Yes.
Great.
So, how were these episodes for you?
There's like a ton of dogs and like crazy things happening here in Dallas tonight. Can you hit me with that again? Did you ask a question?
Oh, I just said that I think that the Mirio and Overhaul fight is definitely going to be a top three scene in the series for a lot of fans. And I don't know if they've reached out to you on social media telling you that.
Well, I mean, I read the manga forever ago, so like I kind of saw this thing coming from, you know, far off, and I could just tell. I've watched a lot of anime, guys, long time.
Same.
And when I saw that panel come up, the Chisuke Mirio fight, I knew that we were in for it. I said very, very kind of confidently to a lot of my pals, I'm like, we're gonna make some anime history friends with this fight because it's I don't know it. It's heartbreak.
Yeah.
But it's also like really hardening. You know, it breaks your heart, but it also fills it back up.
I still hope it's not true. Like, I saw, and part of me is like, it's too much. It's too heavy.
Okay. Hypothetical question.
Yeah, I mean, but I know. I get a lot of people who are kind of heartbroken and coming up to me, a lot of fans that are saying, you know, isn't it sad? Isn't it really just horrible? And I can't help but feel like it's not. It's not, because Aries okay, you know? I mean, that's the point of it, right? Anyway, not to be like too sappy about it.
But. No. Well, hypothetical question. We're in theory, Muriel does not know that those bullets are those kind of bullets. Because if he did, wouldn't it solve everyone's problems if Aerie gets that? And then her quirk that's such a problem, in a way, could be, taken out and not die. But
see, I don't know, though. I don't know, though, because, it's her DNA, right? So, if you're shooting her quirk-destroying ability into a quirk-destroying or a bullet into a quirk, you know what I mean? I think it just, doesn't do anything.
But also, I've got to let it hit her. Oh my gosh, okay, take it out, and then to grab her, you know. But he didn't do that. I was just
let it hit? No way.
But it would have probably bounced off of the horn on her on her head.
Oh god.
I have a really good prediction about Aerie, but I'll save that for later.
But was it ever confirmed that we know her confirmed quirk? What is her confirmed quirk? I feel like there's something that we're clearly missing with Aerie.
I don't think we know yet.
Exactly. So that's why I think that there's no way that Muriel has lost his quirk. And I think Aerie has something to do with that.
I have a theory.
Yes. Please tell.
I've got a theory about it. I think that we've been dealing a lot with, you know, whenever you see a comic introduce someone that can do, time manipulation, it always changes everything, right? It's like, you know, Thanos and the snap. Oh, why don't we just go back in time? anytime you bring in a conceit of someone who can manipulate time, it changes a lot. But, however, I will say this with Aerie. She is a cute little button, and I think that if she's able to manipulate time, there has to be some kind of equivalent exchange. So maybe, just maybe, when she uses her ability to, revert someone's state, that is actually time manipulation, and maybe, just maybe, it might age her. So we might have a grown up Aerie with full bloom succubus horns. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow. That's very Yu Yu Hakusho, Full Metal Alchemist. Equivalent exchange, and then someone turns into an older.
Love to hear that.
You know,
okay.
I could see that. It's a great
Veronica.
Theory.
Wait,
like
that's a theory or that's a fact?
That's his theory.
No, that's out of the brain of old Rico here.
Well, I was wondering that too, because we don't know for sure. How do they know it's permanent? Because unless you have till the end of that person's life, how do you know it's permanent? What if it just wears off in 30 years or something? I mean, that sucks, but, you know, it's not like they're dead yet. Yeah.
There's Mirio. I remember it from back in the day.
All right. Real quick, let's go over episode 10. We covered a little bit. We have our temp squad, Red Riot, and Fat Gum, which Fat Gum, we get when he does the immense, speaking of kind of essentially equivalent exchange, he loses all that energy and becomes small. And that was crazy. where did that happen?
I love it.
I loved it too. I thought it was great.
He looks so different.
The thing about it is, you know, I tell that. Oh, so I'm about to go. I don't know if they heard this. We were talking about this earlier. I'm about to go work out with some friends here late at night here on the SMU track with my buddies. And whenever they're like, oh, we should, they were joking around. I'm going to go have a big old meal right beforehand. And I'm like, good, because you need that energy. That's the potential energy you have in your belly, my friend. And if you're anything like Fat Gum, you can just expend it right away and have rippled abs in 2 seconds.
I know, that's also a good quirk to have. It's oh, he uses it as a shield, but then he can shed it, I guess, whenever he needs to.
Right.
Right?
No body shaming there.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. And his hair, too. I was he has the cap on, so we didn't know he had, this
he
nice
went from
blonde
Nutty
locks,
professor,
you know?
Yeah. Nutty professor skin.
Yeah.
I was going to say, something about him looks very Saiyan-esque.
Saiyan-esque. Hmm. Jamie, calm down.
Gave her more ideas. She's
Jamie's getting turned on over here.
Speaking of. Wow, nice. Renji says Fat Gum becomes Slim Gum. Yes.
Oh.
Also, you know, we get a little mad respect, though, to Rappa, who is the villain who's I respect the fight. Because Red Riot gets so injured, does an amazing job, but gets so injured that he's out of commission. But Rappa is No, it's cool. Let's bandage him up and I will fight him again later. I actually kind of like that villain's like that because they're not just pure evil. They're like, no, I want the fight. I'm here for the activity of it.
Hearing him say it, though, I was just kind of like, let it go.
Oh.
Honestly, like, sometimes I'm like, all right, like, he literally got his ass beat. I don't want him to go through this again. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let's let it go. Fight someone else on my team.
I think he was, I think his comment was interesting, though, because we have learned that, yeah, there are people who are in this Yakuza group, but mm-hmm. a lot of them don't care for Overhaul. A lot of them are fearful of him and don't want to follow him. So mm-hmm. it was just another interesting thing to see. Like, this Rappa guy, yeah, I don't really care to be in this group. I care for the fight, and you were a formidable opponent.
Mm-hmm. Also, we have the... Oh, we get a momentary information thing. Rappa says he lost to Chisaki, and he literally died and was put back together. So that comes into play a little bit later, that if you can die, because Eri, too, like, yeah. he puts her back together, which is creepy and disturbing, and it's like, if he does it quickly enough, you're fine.
Who is this guy?
Very disturbing.
Yes.
Yeah, and what a power move that is, to, like, fight someone, get blown up by them, and then get put back together. And he's like, hey, you want a rematch? And Rappa's like, yeah, again.
Yeah. Like, that little girl is so traumatized. Just even him showing the blood seeping out. I'm like, all right, honestly, this is a little much. Like, mm-hmm. she's really young, but they went there.
Yes. Yeah. Also, we get a little bit more with Rock Lock, which was great to see his power of, like, stopping the hallways when they're kind of wobbling and everything. Also, Toga does some amazing fighting, too. I mean, she's kind of that villain I think you love to hate, because I'm like, oh, she's actually a really formidable villain of dangerous. Even Eraser's having trouble fighting her, and she's ready to kill you cut you.
Yeah, I like her character. Yeah.
And also Have you guys talked about Night Eye's abs yet?
Oh, my God! You guys, when I saw Night Eye, I was like, I need
sure
someone who's...
That you're giving due credit to my senpai, my sensei's
yes.
abs.
Oh, for sure.
Everyone thinks he's just a bookish lad, but...
I'm like, oh, his shirt happens to be open, and he's like, it's cool.
Even My Hero needs to throw in some fan service.
Yes.
Someone with washboard abs needs to do it. Do some strips of hair color, and then wear the glasses, and do the pose. You gotta pose like this.
Yes.
Yeah.
With the shine of the glasses.
Yes. Figure something out with that.
Yeah, Night Eye's been this character that has evolved as for us experiencing it, because at the beginning, you just think he's kind of standoffish, but then it's like, risk his life.
He opened up so much in these series of episodes, and that's why he's becoming more of a favorite. Like, mm-hmm. and it's crazy. A lot of my favorites used to be the students, oh my gosh, how am I forgetting? Bakugo.
Mm-hmm.
And
any of them.
Yeah. Most of them. There's so many names, but I was just like, they used to be my favorites. We're not seeing them as much anymore.
No.
And Night Eye, he was just so vulnerable to where, like, I really felt bad for him. And I want him to be happy at the end of the day. But the fact that he even knew, he was like, you know, I saw us being killed and Eri was going to be safe. And I'm like, why didn't you say that before? You didn't say that before. So did you lie? Like,
he never wants anyone to be influenced by what he sees.
Yeah.
Well, clearly he did, because he lied. He said, oh, yeah, everything's going to be fine. And then when he's sitting there and Eri's coming back, he's like, oh, yeah, we can't save Eri anymore because I saw that you and I were both going to die. So which is it, Night Eye?
I think knowing that can definitely bring down someone's morale, and maybe even Midoriya, because, you know, he cares so much about everyone. If he was to find out that Night Eye dies but Eri's okay, he'd be like, no, I want everyone to come out of this okay. I think it could definitely,
but
like...
Who is using his power on, right? Because his foresight is like a thing that he has to use on one person. And if we're talking about, like, the nature of a quirk, is it like, did he use it? He didn't use it on Overhaul. Who was he using it on?
He used it on Mirio,
right?
Too. Because he's like, Mirio, notice everything as much as you can. And then
he could
see what happened. So that's why he was able to fight well enough later when that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm like, we're getting a little bit ahead. But kind of combines episode 11, Lee Million. How do you like that as your hero name, by the way? Signed up.
Remedian. I love it. I think it's sweet. It's right up his alley when he describes his superhero name to Deku. And he's like, you know, oh man, it's so cool. Like, let's, hey, like while we're patrolling, tell me your superhero name. Like, it's just some weird, I don't know what it is when like two heroes meet. It's like, hey, what's your name? Because, you know, y'all make up your own stuff. I made my own costume. My grandma made my suit. Where'd you get your suit? You know, kind of thing. Like, you share this information with someone. And, you know, he's like, oh, it's Deku. And Mario's like, huh. Like, that's kind of weird. He's like, well, anyway, mine's Lemillion because, like, it's straight up, like, I'm reminded of my goal. You know, I got the thing tattooed across my chest. I want to save a million people. I think it's sweetly right up his alley in regards to just being the kind of guy who's very focused and you know, has to actually, like, articulate it and put it into the world that I'm going to save a million people. And I think after, you know, saving Airy, he totally would be the guy to, like, take down one of the digits and go like 999.
Yeah. Oh, and actually, speaking of his Mirio's abilities, this is also the episode where we see he's not just trained with his quirk. He is an actual fighter because his quirk goes away, but he is still able to kick some serious ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the cape has a function. Yes, capes have a function.
Oh, yeah.
Cape. No cape.
Thought it was just to look cool, but it's not. Yeah, Mirio, I think that's the benefit about failing a lot, because Mirio is a character who is deeply not skilled. It is a person who has just slammed their head into the wall literally and figuratively and metaphorically many, many times, and by virtue of that he has become a person who has become well-rounded and is able to train really effectively because he's failed so many flipping times. I was talking to my buddy Aaron Disney about this. He plays Amajiki. It's Mirio's best friend in the show. And he's like, oh man, Mirio's badass. You know, he's just so good at all these things. Isn't that great? Like, he's really talented. I'm like, yeah, but he wouldn't, like, you know, because of his training, I'm like, he wouldn't have had to train so hard if he was innately skilled. You know what I mean? It didn't just, like, come to him. And I think because of that, it also gave him the grit and sort of stamina to endure losing his quirk. Because to be honest with you, I mean, you know, that's only just one facet of him. So I think it kind of answers that question that Midoriya asks at the top of the whole show, where he says, you know, even though I don't have a quirk, mom, can I still be a hero?
Oh.
And he's like, yeah.
This is true, because we get that flashback with his dad, and his dad says, I didn't want to be a superhero because our powers are kind of dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But Mirio, I love the moment in the fight. What'd you guys think of, like, the being able to go through one person and then being a solid? I was like,
when he went through Airy and then he hit Overhaul. He's just he's so good.
He ran out and kicked Airy. He's like, oh, I really hope I don't mess this up.
I think I would have messed it up. Like, sorry. We'll push you back together.
I dropped it.
Yeah. But even the villains he fights are like, okay, we underestimated him. And he's
just so, like, he stood up to Overhaul. I was just so proud of him, you know?
Yeah.
I think they definitely underestimate.
A lot of people underestimate him. You know, that's another thing he says when he fights Deku. He says, most people underestimate me. Or he goes, catching people by surprise is what his quirk is all about. And it's because, you know, people have constantly underestimated him. And though he looks super jacked and, like, you know, strong and powerful, you know, all of the villains thought they had him cold the second they hit him with that bullet. And he's like, oh, no, like, we're just getting started. That was just round one.
Mm.
You know, yeah. Which is really cool. He's like, he's got another life bar? It's like Dark Souls.
Oh, yeah. It's like, surprise. And actually, that leads into episode 12. Well, Unforeseen Hope. I feel Mirio's like the beacon star of hope, as well as Deku. So what do we all think? At the beginning, Overhaul essentially more explains his philosophy of that the hero mindset is the disease.
Who?
Just, who again, who is this guy?
How do we feel about that?
The hero mindset is the disease?
Yeah, because that's what Overhaul is trying to cure.
I think it's more so like living up to expectations of being a hero. Mm. And it's kind of like you have to be perfect. And I think it's impossible to be perfect. And that's why when you're constantly thinking of, I have to do this, I have to live up to these expectations, you're not going to be able to do that successfully because you're not thinking of all the other qualities that you have to also overcome. So it's just kind of like, it's like you have to be realistic with who you are, and perfect isn't possible, I think. And, right. You know, I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there.
Well, I think it also may have something to do with the fact that I feel a lot of heroes aren't selfish. and maybe Overhaul is kind of a normal person who maybe has selfish instincts or, like, you know, wants to do stuff for himself. But when you're a hero, you have to be selfless. You always have to think about others. And maybe he's just like, that's a really weird way to think for him. And it was, I think it actually was seen in this episode where we find out Rock Lock has a family. And I don't know why that was, like, I don't know why that was super surprising to me. Maybe kind of, again, going in the realm of, like, wanting to find love and have a family can be selfish. And that's also very risky and scary because you don't know how that will, how they will be affected by, you know, being a hero and stuff like that.
Yeah, but then that's also not selfish because then you have kids and, like, you supporting your kids, your wife, whatever, your family. That's, so it's, like, that's not necessarily selfish. It can be seen as selfish, but it's also you're selfless because you're supporting your family.
Exactly.
So there's, like, you see both, like,
it's
arguments.
A balance.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
definitely a balance.
I feel like family and community is such a big part of this show. With Overhaul, I'm really captivated by Overhaul. Actually, Kellan Goff is in town. We just did an escape room the other night. So it's really fun when Miriam and Overhaul, you will all just hang out together. you know, Overhaul, we won, by the way. We escaped.
He just great.
And I just phased through. But, like, he's an interesting cat because when he talks to his boss, the Yakuza boss, and he's like, yeah, you know, we're in decline. Everything's, you know, not working. We're kind of falling into obscurity, which to Overhaul is like, you know, I can imagine, is it Uraka who she goes to UA just to, like, everyone's talking about these huge goals to be number one hero or save as many people or blah, 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 famous. And she's like, listen, I'm just trying to get a paycheck and feed my family.
Yeah.
Like, those kind of moments in this show remind me that in a world full of people who have abilities, at the end of the day, we still have people close to us and we still have very simple desires sometimes, but aren't any less noble, you know? I think for Overhaul to say, you know, I want to just get rid of all these quirks, of course, I imagine with him, with his sort of totalitarian view, he'd be like, well, everyone's quirks except for mine, because I want to make sure that, you know, all the quirks are taken care of. I doubt that he would be the one guy to, like, erase his quirk at the end. But, yeah, I don't know. I think there's something really, we were talking about, you said, like, trying to bring everyone back to zero. But then there's that idea of, like, all for one and passing on an ability. I'm sorry, one for all.
You're just making sure people are listening.
Yes.
Yeah. But passing on your power, you know what I mean? Taking care of people. And even in his own way, I think Overhaul feels like he's taking care of his family. And that's why the Shiha Saikai are willing to die for him, you know?
So I was going to say, lighter and dark note, we learn his daughter is not his daughter, which I was like, yes, we knew Eri was not his daughter.
I don't know if I ever fully believed Eri was his daughter.
They don't look alike. I don't see it.
But that's interesting of that dynamic. But we have seen how much Overhaul has, like, mentally and emotionally abused her that she thinks, oh, yes, I'll go back and it'll be fine. And I'm with you, Jamie. I was like, girl, no, stop.
Yeah, but she's so young. I honestly believe that she is probably stronger than him. And maybe there was an instance, whatever, it's just a weird theory, that she showed her strength, that she was stronger than him. And then maybe she felt like she did something wrong. He did what he could to control her. I don't know. You know, we'll find out, I'm sure. But that whole scene, though, because people are talking about it in the chat, breakups and dragon videos, where they're in the hallway, Mirio and Eri. And, like, I was like, this girl is so traumatized because the way he's crawling on that floor. And I just would have felt so bad because I would have felt like that was my fault.
Maybe
I should go back.
She has suffered a great deal, like, so much abuse and so much manipulation to truly believe that everything is her fault. And the reason everyone who comes in contact with her ends up dying, she truly believes all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's disgusting because it's just like you want her to not feel that way. But he has such a tight grip on her. It's awful.
Get a grip on that
and
horn.
Then if you're told, I think that's another thing, like being told repeatedly as a kid, if you're told over and over and over again, you are this thing, you tend to believe it. You know, you are what you believe in that way. And I think that's why someone asked me, you know, why does, it's not worth it. You know, Miriam was so OP, shouldn't have done all these things for this girl. Because like you said, to the point, like, let her quirk end. Like, it's better that she not be around, you know, which I know is a cold thing to think of for the sake of heroics, but invariably what ends up happening is by Mirio putting it all on the line for her, he displays her worth for her through that. It's like if anyone goes out of their way to help you in some sort of like, you might not really clock it, but it displays their value for you. They're showing you that you have worth, you have value. And for Aerie, who I'm sure feels like she has little to no value other than the little toys that the mobsters bring in, so she doesn't, you know, I don't know what her life was underground with Overhaul, but I'm sure it wasn't very good. And when someone straight out of the blue says, you know, I believe in you, or, you know, like, I think you're worth it, man, that's got to be like water in a dry desert, right?
Yeah.
It's the same way that Night Eye, you know, made Mirio feel like he was capable. The same way that, you know, Mirio, by sacrificing everything, puts like, I think, a sliver, a razor thin margin, like just a small opening for Aerie to go, well, maybe things can be different, and then reach for Deku's hand. So it might seem like it was all so tragic, but it's like, if you look at that one little thing, it's worth everything, you know?
Yeah. And we did have Deku arrive in the moment, and I was like, oh, thank goodness.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah, Mirio was like, took your damn time. Yeah.
And actually, also at the very, very end, I kind of overheard Veronica's thoughts on it. The ladies arrive.
Yes! Finally, get the ladies, like, in the room. Oh, like, God, we have been waiting for them.
Dragon, y'all, Caitlin, get in here. Yeah, everyone, please.
Yes. we get.
I know all of you can break walls. Deku's not the only one who can punch down walls. I know.
Yeah. Right? We get Froppy, Gravity Girl, and Dragon Lady falling through the ceiling at the end. We have.
That's a cliffhanger.
Oh,
the episodes always end with someone breaking through the wall.
Right?
It's like, come on, gosh darn it.
Who's in next? Repairman.
We don't have doors.
Kool-Aid Man.
The honeycomb dude. He was on something.
But it is like, oh, go ahead, bro.
I was just going to say, if I could just backtrack like real quick.
Yes. No, go.
So sorry.
If I could just backtrack real quick. One of the things that really fascinated me about these episodes is we really got to learn more about Overhaul because he's such a mystery. Obviously, we know he's strong. Now we have a better idea of his quirk. He has multiple quirks or multiple abilities.
Multiple
ways to use it. He can heal
people. Merging with the villain. Yes.
The merging of the villain, the being able to like restore
Nemoto.
People.
Yes.
And then, you know, just multiple ways to use it. It was fascinating. I'm like, he is a very good villain.
Do we know if he merged, when he merged with Nemoto, is Nemoto's consciousness still alive? Or like when Chisaki.
I thought he was dead.
He's like, thanks for the sacrifice. I'm gonna borrow your body.
But maybe not. I don't know how good. I mean, the way that Overhaul said it, he was like, you know, hey, man, you die for me, right? It's not like you can answer. He's like KO'd. So it's kind of messed up.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel like, you know, when he reached down and put his hand on him, I was like, oh, yeah, he's definitely gonna do bad things right now.
Oh,
bad touch.
Yeah.
That was very gnarly, that, like, morphine. And
That was not a DNA Digivolve. Nope.
No.
That was
pretty gnarly. Rico, any other final thoughts you'd like to add on, so far, your experience working on the show, your character, or anything else you'd like to share or projects you're working on?
I mean, there's always stuff. You know, there are things that are in the pipe. A lot of different, you know, video games and other shows and stuff, but I will just share this just because the episode just came out and I've been getting so much love for it. So many people who love Mirio, and it's very interesting for me as an actor to have folks come up and now that this episode's finally come out, people who've read the manga from months ago telling me that, you know, getting tattoos of Mirio and, like, you know, my signature on them. I'm like, what is this? I've never had that happen before.
Tattoo?
But as more stuff comes out and the more we get to flesh out and understand Lemillion, it's, I don't know, I feel like I'm learning a lot about just how important, you know, a fictional character can be, you know? I mean, like, I love Spider-Man, I grew up with Spider-Man, and I was like, oh man, I want to be Peter Parker, I want to have responsibility, I want to do the right thing, you know, and here I am portraying Mirio, and I have, like, little kids coming up to me being like, you know, I want to be like him, I want to, you know, put it all on the line, and I'm like...
That's amazing.
I'm shook, man, like, deeply. You probably have to watch the special features of one of the. I'm not plugging the DVD, by the way, but behind the scenes, and I talked about this. I did CPR on this gal, three-year-old. I'm sorry. Early September, because she almost drowned, and we brought her back, and it was life-changing. I've never had anything like that happen to me. And again, that like razor-thin sort of thing that. You know, should I go in there? Should I try and help? Should I not? This person seems like this little girl. I honestly thought she was dead. She was blue and not breathing, non-responsive. And after enough chest compressions and mouth to mouth, we brought her back. And that to me, like, and doing this show, I feel like it all just comes together. And talking with you guys, I'm like, yeah, the choices we make in life really matter. The way we treat other people, the things we do for other people matters. And whether you can actually see whether or not that chain, you know, in the way that like one for all goes down the line, even though you might not see it, every little thing you do does actually, in fact, have a consequence. So, and hopefully for the best, you know, the good. But anyway, so yeah, I'll just leave you with that.
Yeah. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah.
Anything else you all like to add for
me? I do. I want to say one last thing. I think how you wrapped that up, Rika, was so beautiful. And I think that really does show Mirio's character. And I feel Mirio is the hope of the show. At least right now, I personally believe that he is the hope. And, you know, a kind of prediction is of mine, I haven't read the manga, so I'm only watching as is. And a prediction of mine is, I think, yeah, Mirio's quirk might be gone for the time being. And I think had that happened to any other hero, it would be devastating for their, you know, self-esteem, especially because a lot of heroes' foundations is to be able to help people and to be able to keep justice. But with Mirio, he's so hopeful and so positive, he would be able to turn that into a positive and not let it get him down. And it's just, he's such a strong character, such a hopeful character. Like, I don't think you could ever really break him down.
Well, it's like, what am I here to do, right? Am I here? He's not trying to be a hero for himself. You know, he's here to help people. So he can help people with or without a quirk, you know? And that's why I think when Deku's like walking with him up to Night Eye's office, and he's like, man, you know, you like, feel like you know everything about me and the way you talk to me. And Mira's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know you at all. You're a total stranger. But I can tell we have like the same heart, the same kind of groove. We both want to help. And you can sense that, you know? So I think that, yeah, in a way, he's kind of unflappable in that way. And it's nice to see. So.
Yay! Well, thank you so much for chatting with us.
The deserved applause.
Yes. We're going to say goodbye now for Rico, and then we're going to continue with some anime news. But again, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And thanks for bearing with my terrible, terrible latency. I'm using the Starbucks Wi-Fi, so hey, shout out to
Starbucks. No, we love it.
Smash that like and subscribe button. Anyway.
This is not sponsored.
Thanks again, you guys. You're awesome. This is super fun. I've never done anything like this before.
Oh, you were fantastic. You're great. It's our honor.
Yes.
Really.
Thank you.
Thank you
thank
so
you.
Much for your
cheers.
Time.
Cheers. Yeah. Cheers. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah.
See you guys.
It's like, oh,
yeah, that was great.
Oh, that's fantastic. Any other thoughts on this episode? I mean, the only thing we're kind of left with is Deku is in kind of peril. Night Eye could die. He's pierced through the stomach area. But we know there's quirks that can heal people. We don't know if any healers showed up for this fight, do we?
Healers?
I mean,
Aerie.
Where's Recovery Girl?
Aerie's there. That's
true.
I'll say.
We
but
don't
I'll save,
know.
Save it for predictions.
Yes. All right, cool. So any other thoughts on the episode?
I have just predictions.
Okay, cool. We're going to hold predictions. We're going to get into our news segment and then do our predictions.
Yay. Yes, so a little bit of news. We will start with My Hero Academia. I know we covered a lot of the new movie that just came out, Heroes Rising. It came out in Japan over the summer. Producer Jonathan, can we get the My Hero graphic going?
There we go.
So just some news about this. So I believe there was an IGN article that stated the creator of the manga has said that this may be the last movie of the franchise. Well, I don't know. See, here's the thing. I have mixed feelings. Like, obviously, if it's a beloved series, like, I, as an adoring fan, I want more and more and more. But I also really appreciate series that kind of know when to scale it back and give us, like, a really solid story. And if
not just fluff.
And not just fluff, exactly. So if he feels like this is the proper amount of movies, this is the proper amount of story to be told, I can accept it.
Especially due to the fact that the rumor that, I think we talked about it last after show, about this was supposed to be like the last arc something.
It was originally supposed to be like,
maybe that that makes a lot of sense now that you bring that up.
It's like, it just seems so soon.
And like oversaturation, I guess, too, because even like last year the movie came out, or like the year before that. It was
2018.
The movie came out, it came out very, very recently.
Well, we're already technically last year.
Like 2 years
ago? Cool.
Ooh. Yeah. I'm excited regardless, though.
Yeah, you're definitely.
I'm excited. And it is making its way over here in 2020. I think last time we heard around February, so we will definitely be waiting for that. And I know I'm going to watch it. I'm
excited.
Nice.
With me and Jamie.
With all of us. Party. And moving on to our next piece of news. So, y'all, Coachella is happening this year.
Oh, my God.
Did you see the lineup?
Yes.
Rage Against the Machine. Oh, my God.
Well, in our great otaku news, not only does it have great acts like that, but we're also going to be seeing anime icon Hatsune Miku and can you say it?
Kiari Pamu Pamu.
Pamu, yeah.
Watch her videos. They are a trip. She's amazing. Also, she's great live. I saw her, she came to LA Live like a couple years ago. I can't imagine what she'll do for Coachella. Like, she has dancers, they have cool visuals. And just as a performer, she's fantastic.
I just love that Coachella is giving light to, like, Asian artists.
Yes.
Bang is performing,
like,
too.
Last year when I went, they had Blackpink, which is, like, one of the biggest K-pop groups, and they killed it. And it's so cool because K-pop never goes, or, like, any J-pop even, they don't really go overseas too often. So it's great that Coachella is, like, giving opportunity for those artists.
That is
I know. I love seeing that. And I love seeing that through something like Coachella and the fact that they are bringing international artists in to perform.
And different kind of artists too.
Exactly.
What are they called? Projections.
Like holograms.
Yeah.
It's giving the opportunity to expand their fan base because I don't, you know, like some people do not understand anime, and I don't think in any other circumstance other than something like Coachella would they maybe see acts like this. So it's great that they're getting more and more exposure.
Or it's just so overwhelming, people don't know where to start, so this is a nice way to be like, hey, check it out.
But there's always something for everyone.
That's true.
You know?
Nice.
Kim Petras!
Someone help me save money for a ticket. I want to go so bad.
I said I would never go again, but I'm like, oh, that's
good. There's lineup, a lot of good stuff. Well, let us know if you're going to Coachella.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was that it?
That was all for news.
Also, check out our Twitter at ABTV Anime. We also post announcements of DVD releases coming out and upcoming, like what seasons, what anime is coming out this winter. Now, I guess we're still winter season, but yes, check that out. And thank you. All right, let's do some predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Jinkies.
you were ready for one, I think.
I was. I do have a few. So a part of me does believe that Mirio's quirk is gone for the time being. Maybe not permanently, but for the time being. Mm. But as I had mentioned, I think he's going to somehow turn it into a positive, and he's still going to be a hero in his own right. I also think that Eri is going to be the one who eventually stops Overhaul. I think she is going to find her strength within herself, because we still don't know what her quirk is really. And if it's powerful enough for the Yakuza and Overhaul to use to take away quirks, I think it's pretty powerful. And I think once she is able to break free of his abuse and his manipulation, she will find it in herself and she will unleash that power and take him down.
Yeah.
Well, also, we have to know that she's somebody who hasn't been able to train like these other students, so she could have ability options and things that she doesn't even know yet of what she could do. I don't think Night Eye is going to die, though he looked pretty bad, but it's not impossible that I don't think so. Because I feel like this will be a nice moment for Deku to say, I told you so, I changed it.
Oh my gosh.
I almost kind of want that. But we'll see. I feel it's getting serious, and I'm so glad. Same thing. I'm so glad the ladies are in the ring now. I want to see them fight, because they can do a good job, or just as well.
I mean, I definitely think that we're going to see more of Eri and, you know, her development and her quirk development. So since Night Eye is, of course, he's going to need to recover, maybe this far-fetched, maybe him and All Might will kind of rekindle and have, like, because, I mean, they're both going to have to lay low for a little bit.
Yeah.
And maybe he's going to, of course, overhear that Night Eye has been doing all these things to help everybody out. Maybe he's going to talk to him about it. Maybe Gran Torino will step in. I don't know. But I just hope that they kind of reconcile, or at least talk, and see what happens from there.
I really like that thought. Yeah. I hope so.
I think everything that's happened with, that's gone wrong, such as with Mirio, I think it had to happen in order to kind of, like we were talking about, kind of like that, the break in Eri for her, like her going back. I don't think that was a sign of weakness. I think she was actually going back to do something, as I would like to think. And I agree with you. I think she is going to be the one that takes down Overhaul, and she's going to do it like something. So I think she's just capable of doing things completely unexpectedly. And I disagree. I think Night Eye's toast. Like, I think he's dead.
Yeah.
I think he has to die just because of his quirk. That's just a really bad quirk to live with, because
I agree with
just
you
knowing the next step all the time. Like, he's a ticking time bomb, you know? And I think his death is not going to be in vain. I think it's going to mean something.
Yes.
You know, I don't want him to die, but I think he has to, because of that quirk is just too...
We thought someone was going to die.
Seeing the future just kind of, like, disrupts fate. Or it just... It doesn't... You know, I think... I like what Deku said in this episode. We're fighting fate.
I wonder, would he be killed by someone else, or would he kill himself, like...
No.
To sacrifice himself for someone else. No.
I think that his injuries are pretty bad. I agree with Ollie in that I think Night Eye is going to die, but I think we will get that kind of like, I changed it moment, because obviously Midoriya is not going to die.
Right.
And I don't think Mirio, like, there was some fear, oh, Mirio might die, but I don't think he's going to die either, especially if it is Night Eye the one to die. You can't have too many deaths on my hero. Ooh.
Dropping like flies.
Well, there's a lot. Please, no spoilers. We're only covering as the show goes. Thank you so much for watching. Huge thank you to Rico Fajardo for joining us via Skype. That was wonderful to talk about Mirio. We all had the feels on these episodes, and to get his insight was fantastic. Thank you so much for watching, listening. Make sure to give the video a thumbs up on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button on iTunes. 5 stars. Let us know what you thought of the episode. And also, leave comments down below. What did you think of this episode as well, and any other things that stood out to you? And Ollie, where can people find you online?
Hey guys, you can find me, Ollie Drennan, at Instagram and Twitter at Ollie Jamer.
And you can find me, Jamie Gray, on Twitter at It's Jamie Gray, or better yet, on Instagram at Jamie Gray, JAIMIGRAY.
You can find me, Veronica Valencia, on Twitter and Instagram at It's Me, Veronica _V.
And my name's Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's KARIDLANE. Thank you so much for watching. We'll see you next time. Sayonara.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.